Welcome to radio at firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters. Firehouse.com brings you the leaders of the nation's fire, rescue, and EMS services, the top columnists and educators, and today's most important issues, headlines, and comments. Listen right on your desktop or download and listen on the go to firehouse.com.
Welcome to VCOS Radio. I'm Peter Matthews, editor at firehouse.com, and we're here today at the VCOS Symposium in the Sun. VCOS is the Volunteer and Combination Officers section of the International Association of Fire Chiefs. And we are down here today in Clearwater Beach, Florida, with Chief John Bales from the Golden, Colorado Fire Department. Chief, thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome. It's good to be here.
Chief Bales and the Golden, Colorado Fire Department were awarded the VCOS Recruitment and Retention Award yesterday during the opening ceremony at the VCOS Symposium. And in talking with Chief Bales and some of the other folks here at the symposium, we have a great story to share on how departments can positively increase their department staffing and the morale through a series of programs. So, Chief, can you tell me a little bit about yourself and the Golden, Colorado Fire Department?
Sure. I've been a fire department member for 39 years. I've been with the City of Golden Fire Department for 9 years, the last eight as the chief. During my career, I've been through the National Fire Academy's EFO program. I was recently awarded a Chief Fire Officer Designee Award. And the Golden Fire Department is a combination department comprised of 11 career people and, as of now, 75 volunteers. Department's been in existence for 129 years. It originated from three original companies that settled in Golden, with Golden originally being the territorial capital of Colorado. So the department's 129 years old, going strong. It still has a lot of small-town flavor, but it also has the larger suburb-type structures. We are the westernmost suburb of the Denver metropolitan area.
Okay, so here it is, 2008, and you have 75 members strong. Can you take us back to January of 2006? What shape was your department in at that time?
Well, in January 2006, we only had 38 volunteer members. But going back into about November 2005, we were paid a visit by the IRS, as they termed a courtesy visit. At that time, they came in and looked at the issuance of the 1099 earnings statement and looked at a lot of things. We were originally paying a pay-per-call for responses of $8 per call.
And is that just for fire responses, or is that for training and meetings?
That was strictly for fire responses.
Okay.
They were in the other sense, were true volunteers. There were no fees paid for training or work detail or anything like that. So they were getting $8 per call. The IRS decided that that wasn't quite the way we should be doing it. We should be issuing a W-2 form, which through our human relations department would translate into, they were creating volunteers into employees. We did not want to make them employees. We wanted them still to be volunteers. Also, the IRS determined that the premiums paid on our life and disability insurance in excess of $50,000, the premium part of that, was also taxable compensation. We provide our volunteers with a $150,000 AD&D policy, and the premiums above the $50,000 were considered taxable. So what I did at that time when this all broke down as to what we were going to have to do next, I contacted the VCOS section, specifically Chairman Tim Wall, and told him what was going on and requested any assistance that might be available there. VCOS was extremely helpful, but they also didn't have a lot of solutions. This is something that had started coming up across the country, the IRS coming into places and looking at fire departments and how they were using the term compensation for volunteers, which is a term now that we don't want to use.
The 1099 and the W-2 problem, was that one of the reasons that you, did you lose members based off of that, or?
Because we were not going to pay the $8 call, Yeah, I can say we lost a couple of members because of that.
Okay.
It was. But, you know, things like they were taxing insurance. So when we went to the members and said, you know, the IRS has come in, we're going to have to make some changes, you know, what do you folks, what do you want us to preserve? And they mentioned two specific things at that time. They said, number one, you need to preserve our pension plan. The Golden Fire Department, along with many volunteer agencies in Colorado, have an excellent pension plan for volunteer, which is a defined benefit plan. They wanted that preserved. And they said, number two, which, and it was kind of surprising to me in some respects, can you preserve that life insurance policy? And that was able to be done through things. So when we went to the members, we said that. One of the things that we found out was through the Department of Labor or the Fair Labor Standard Act and the IRS that their regulations were in conflict. And I think, you know, at this conference, we've heard that several times. The IRS and the Fair Labor Standard are in conflict.
Yes.
However, the IRS are the trump card. They take precedent over the FLSA regulations. So issuing the W-2s to the volunteer firefighters would void their status as what they referred to as a bona fide volunteer because it was going to make an employee of the city. Naturally, when they became an employee of the city, minimum wage things came into effect. So again, we talked to our volunteers and said, here's some of the issues. You can be a part-time employee, you can stay as a volunteer, but this is going to be a one-time choice. And it was unanimous. We want to stay as volunteers.
Okay.
So that was what they wanted to do. If they had become employees, several volunteers would have been forced to resign due to their work assignments with other career fire departments.
All right.
We do have volunteers that are career firefighters in other places. If they'd become part-time employees, it would have avoided a lot of the volunteer benefits, number one being that pension, and number two probably being the life insurance policy. While we know there would have been workman's compensation for injuries, but the life insurance policy would have gone away, and the only benefit would have been part-time hourly wage for what they do. So the volunteers decided they wanted to preserve the pension, preserve that, and remain as volunteer. So as of December 31st, 2005, the paper call went away, and starting in January 1 of 2006, there was no longer a paper call. One of the other things that we looked at is there any other way that we can provide benefit? One of the benefits that was through the IRS regulations and the code section 457 was a length of service awards program. So we developed that. We involved, as a fire department, as a city, we hired a tax and a labor attorney firm to work on this and put together, look at the IRS regulations, see what we could do. We kept the insurance in effect. We had the pension plan in effect, but we were beginning to look at something else, a length of service. So on January 1 of 2006, we only had the 38 volunteers. We'd lost a few, down from about 40-some. We'd lost a few. It took us until roughly May to get the approved length of service award program in place, also in compliance with the IRS regulations through their 457 code and to recognize the service provided by the volunteers. So the three main benefits we still had were the pension, the life insurance, which now was not being taxed because it was being paid for out of some monies out of the pension fund at the discretion of the members. They decided that's the way we'd pay for it, so it wouldn't be a taxable burden on the volunteer themselves.
Uh-huh.
So after we had some pretty serious deliberations with our staff, our command officers determined that we needed an entirely new plan to keep up with the growth. Again, covering with volunteers 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 was, as everybody will recognize, is a tough thing to do. So we put together a strategic planning committee comprised of both career members and volunteer members. And that's the one thing I'd point out is you've got to involve the people. You got to empower them to sit on these committees and take their suggestions to heart and work together. And that's exactly what we did. So the strategic plan team started in January 2006, and they had some objectives. There were three major objectives this group had. One was to plan and develop a shift response program for the volunteer firefighters. Number two was to look in and revise some of their bylaws, volunteer bylaws, which had not been done in several years. And three was to develop a volunteer membership manual. One of the things the Strategic Planning Committee came up with in the bylaw change was going from totally volunteers that lived within the city to opening that up outside the city limits. In fact, we opened it up to the entire metropolitan Denver area.
Okay.
And several we got excellent response from that. What those folks were going to have to do, they made our shift program because they couldn't respond from home. Some of them lived 20, 25 miles away, but yet they could come in and work a 12-hour shift and be on call in the firehouse the same as the career folks. And so that's exactly what we did. And we went to a shift program. The non-resident volunteer was required to work 3 12-hour shifts a month, and that plan's been up and running, you know, just a little over 2 years now.
And those folks, when they came in, did they have to have prior firefighter training?
No, we recruited. We went to job fairs. We went to EMS classes at hospitals. We recruited people out of there. And then over the next 2 years, we ran 3 recruit academies in 2 years and brought on over 40 people.
Okay.
But while the strategic planning team was hard at work doing their thing, myself and my staff started looking at grants. And one of the things that we looked into was the SAFER grant, especially in the area of recruitment retention. We all know the SAFER grant can go out there and get you more firefighters, and you'll have a matching contribution to do that. But what a lot of people are unaware of, especially in the volunteer side of the house, is the SAFER grant will give you money for recruitment and retention. So, and I worked with those folks and called them before I submitted my grant and said, is there a way that you can get like a volunteer coordinator or a paid staff person to basically run your volunteer program and do your recruitment, retention, training? And they said, absolutely. So we were very successful in that and received a grant of over about $195,000 over a four-year period. It allowed us to hire a full-time position of a volunteer coordinator recruiter, which included his salary and fringe benefits. He was hired in at the rank of lieutenant and many days serves as our daytime company officer as well, but he's assigned to the training division as an assistant training officer. It also gave us money to market our program and recruit and allow for some other smaller retention items, you know, giveaways, things of that sort, rescue knives, jackets, things of that sort that we were able to do. But some of the more effective tools we utilized in the strategic planning team were some of the reports that VCOS had prepared over the years, the Blue Ribbon Report, the Red Ribbon Report, and more recently our White Ribbon Report. These were published by the VCOS officer section, and they were our working tool to make the team's ability so they could address these issues. So our first step was to establish a shift program where the volunteers could spend 12-hour shift at the station, receive response credit. It was, you know, our resident volunteers have a call quota per year they have to meet, so we kind of equated a 12-hour shift to being 2 calls.
Okay.
And so it worked out that way. Since the inception of the shift program, many of our resident firefighters said, you know, that shift program looks like a really way to go for us, and maybe we don't have to be on call all the time if we sign up for shifts. And that's exactly what they've done. So we now have not just our non-residents, but our resident volunteers also work in this shift program as well.
Makes it easier so you don't have to
absolutely
always be at the beck and call and drop things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
And with the shift program, the volunteer members working the shift received an IRS allowable allowance for meals as long as they receipt them and make an accountable expense. An accountable expense for somebody working a shift is their mileage to and from the station, their meal costs for the shift, and, you know, if they have dry cleaning on any of their uniforms, things of that sort, we take care of. So those are some of the things. The second major accomplishment that the strategic planning team do was overhaul those bylaws, and it was approved unanimously by the volunteer members. The old way used to require residency in the city limits or no more than a 1-mile driving distance to the city limits, but the major changes of the bylaws were to eliminate the residency requirement for volunteer firefighters and mandate that they work 3 12-hour shifts per month. And we also lowered our age to become a firefighter from 21 to 19. I won't say we have a lot of 19-year-olds. In fact, I think we've only had one go through the academy, but we've stirred up a lot more interest at the community college, and even at the as a senior in high school, we go talk to those career days and say, here's an avenue for you.
Okay.
And the third major accomplishment was to actually publish a membership manual. Now, this includes sections on city policy, the bylaws, a job description, which I'll say is crucial for every volunteer. And those job descriptions include not only the volunteer, but the officer positions, all the way up to all of the career personnel, including myself. So everybody has a copy of everybody's job description. There is a section in there on personnel policies, what the requirements are to remain as a volunteer, what the benefits are, and even a section on disciplinary procedures. So those were the three major accomplishments. Then we moved on to our recruitment and our marketing plan. We had a goal. We were going to recruit 40 additional volunteer firefighters, and there were two groups we were going to go after: people who resided in the city but maybe are becoming less likely to volunteer due to family, work situations, and I don't think it's any secret that housing is very expensive in the Golden area. And then there was the member that we were going to target who lived outside the city limits but would be willing to fulfill their obligations by coming in and becoming part of a 24/7 shift program and making residence within the community now a non-factor. So we again got with our human resource department. We encouraged the recruitment retention of different ethnic backgrounds, women. We targeted the community colleges, the EMS programs in the area, and our HR department was very helpful in giving us the necessary staff assistance to do that. With the SAFER grant, we also were given money for 4 years to market and do some other retention factors, marketing programs such as being able to go to the job fairs and set up displays and things of that sort and hand out brochures and mailings and a lot of different things, and even some new things I heard about in the last couple of days that I want to look at when I get back, some of the mailings and things that they do. Being able to pay for our entry-level physical exams that are in compliance with NFPA 1582 now. Also included in that program was an infection control process as it relates to vaccinations and treatment and medical supervision, and a new recently developed health and wellness program by the city that now does include the volunteers. And they do an annual health screening, meet with a health counselor, and with that they're able to maintain a membership at the city's rec center at no cost.
Okay. Very good benefit.
Okay. The big thing with the SAFER grant was the hiring of a volunteer coordinator and recruiter. And I would say a lot of our success goes to that position. He's out there, he's beating the bushes, going to the community colleges, meeting with high school kids, things of that sort. But he's also responsible for all our marketing, our recruitment scheduling, and as I said, he's part of our training division. And to be honest, he's like a mother duckling with these kids when they come in. And he's had three academies, and every graduation you can just see him just kind of tear up when these guys graduate because he's losing contact. But the great part of this program, those newer firefighters are always coming back into his office, stopping by, looking for some advice. What do I do next? How do I get my next certification? So he's just been an integral part of our program, and I would tell anybody that's looking at a SAFER grant, especially in the volunteer recruitment retention area, look at getting a good coordinator and somebody that can do that full time, because it's possible through the grant to do that.
Okay. And he really sees them through from I don't want to say seeking them out, but at the same time, that's his duty at the job fairs, the colleges, to seek out potential employees.
Absolutely. From the day of recruitment to filling out the application to sitting on the review panel to the entry-level oral board to getting them scheduled for physicals all the way up when we do bring them on as a member through graduation at the academy. So it's a full-time process all year just to do one academy. In the year he did two, you know, I'm not sure how he did it, but it was a great thing to have two academies in one year. I don't think I'd ever force that again, but that was a tough thing to do. But we did. We brought up 40 members. And so, yeah, our experience level in our department has dropped dramatically, but we have 40 new people, high energetic, and their energy is contagious to the more senior members. And now the senior members are taking some of those newer folks under their wing and, you know, working the shifts with them. And In fact, I had one volunteer said, there's no better way than to know the new members than to go work a shift with them and sit with them and sit down at that dinner table with them. And all the ranks come off and you can talk and you get to know who's on your department. So it's been a real success.
Okay.
And then we get into retention, of course. And retention is a whole nother component. I think Chief Buckman told me while I was here one thing about retention. It's hard to measure until you're a few years down the road and see if you're still keeping these people. So their enthusiasm is high. The things we're providing with the pension system, the length of service award program that we have, the online shift scheduling now can be done from home. They don't have to come into the fire station, find a list, and sign up for it. You know, if you live 20 miles away, that'd be a little bit of a burden. So they can get online, see what shifts are open. There's a procedure we have for that. They schedule their shifts. If there's a conflict, of course, they call the volunteer coordinator, and they work it out. So we've had some great results. As a result of some of our declining membership by the courtesy visit from the IRS, we could have rolled over and just died as a volunteer organization. And some hard choices had to be made. But putting a planning team together comprised of existing career and volunteer members, getting a SAFER grant, I think we've set an example on some things we can do. We didn't do anything extraordinary. And we borrowed ideas from our peers all over the country.
Which is what?
These conferences and things are all about. And we shared them. We have no secrets here, and I'm sure somebody's done exactly what we did. We just put it all together, and I was fortunate enough to get it down on paper and submit it to VCOS, and they gave us an award for it. You know, we didn't do this looking for an award. We did this to enhance service. It's what it's all about. I think Chief Windisch from Ponderosa, Texas, said it's all about service. And remember what our mission is. It's service. Mm-hmm. And that's what we needed to do, enhance service. The city had a priority of trying to keep volunteers. We had a mission of providing service. And we've done that. And now we're a department of 80-some combined people strong, looking to next year put a new recruit class in. And I don't want to use the term cap our membership at 85, but we're going to shoot for that target of 85 volunteers next year and see where we are and what tweaks we'll have to make to the program, and then actually look, like Chief Buckman said, how do you measure retention? Well, you look a year down the road, 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road, and see, are we keeping those folks?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's fairly new. It's only 3 years into it, so I guess, you know, maybe set that benchmark of 5 years before you see how many people have left for whatever reason, whether they move out of the area. Or
sure.
Okay. Okay, well, I guess the IRS surprise visit shook things up a little bit in Golden, but...
Well, it did. Yeah, it really did.
But it seems to maybe not directly help improve the department, its staffing and training, et cetera, but with everything that came about, kind of brought some things on the ladder, I guess.
Certainly moved us into a different direction, and we're better for it today, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we've the involvement of both our career and our volunteer members working together on a team, and those grants are out there, and it's just not SAFER grants. There's other grants out there, and a lot of grants just go unused because people just don't take the time, I think, to apply for some of that stuff and get that assistance. And that's why we belong to organizations like VCOS and things like that. They keep us updated with things. And so it was a good way for us to go. And we've had 105% increase in our membership. What else can I say about it?
And not many places can claim that.
Not in an era of declining volunteers. And, you know, I've heard that over and over. Volunteerism is declining. It's declining. Well, I can tell you it's pretty well alive and well in Golden, Colorado.
Well, that's great. That's good. Well, that's a great influence to hear as far as the program. So what I'll do is I'll go ahead and I'll post some links on the podcast player page to the fire department's website. We'll put something up there for the SAFER grant. And anything else we can determine that needs a link, we'll get that.
Absolutely. And when that's up there, anybody can contact me, email me. You know, we'll share anything we have, and I'll learn as much from when they call as I will, so that I'll share with them.
Okay. And what's your email address for those who are listening?
It's jbales@cityofgolden.net.
Okay. All right. Well, again, this is Chief John Bales from the Golden, Colorado Fire Department, who's seen an unbelievable 105% increase in the department's membership in just about 3 years.
That's correct.
So thank you for joining us again. We're here at the VCOS Symposium in the Sun, and stay tuned for our next guest here on the Recruitment and Retention Podcast.
Radio at firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters.
Welcome back to VCOS Radio. This is Peter Matthews, and we're here live at the VCOS Symposium in the Sun in Clearwater Beach, Florida. And my second guest is Chief Brian Hickerson from the Noakesville, Virginia Fire Department. Noakesville is in Prince William County, a suburb, I guess you could say, of Washington, D.C. Chief, thank you for joining us. I was having dinner last night with John Buckman, and he told me about this chief of direct mail, the direct mail chief. And I asked what the joke was, and I found out that it's not a joke. It's true that you've been very successful in recruiting a lot of firefighters over the last few years. So can you first tell us a little bit about your department, what your department is now? Can you tell me a little bit about yourself? And then we'll talk about the program that you've instituted.
In Noakesville, we serve about 84 square miles. We now have two stations, and the reason that we were recruiting was that we were opening up a brand-new station. Our population had jumped from 10,000 to almost 33,000 in about a five-year period. And what we just needed to do was be able to staff two stations. And we do not use home response anymore. We staff all the way and from 6 at night till 6 in the morning, and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday all day also. So we just started recruiting. And the way that we started recruiting was through sending out postcards, and I call them junk mail, and actually they tease me as being the junk mail chief, but it is very effective. And I had in my business life of being an electrical contractor, we did what's called a Victory Village, and it was in an 800 house subdivision, and I was checking to see how many homes were transitioning every month, and we found out over a year time that there's 35 to 40 homes out of this 800 unit subdivision being transferred over every month. So that's why the frequency. You know, we do it 3 to 4 times a year, 2 to 3 mailings at each recruitment drive, and then we have an open house to bring everybody together. And most of the time, we have 6 to 8 applications that come in right at the same day of the recruitment drive, and then 10 to 12 others during the next 35 to 40 days that come in.
Okay, so you send out the mailers. How many do you send out? Do you repeat offend on the direct mailing to folks that have already joined the department, or is there a list that gets...
Everybody gets mailed to that lives in the first two area.
Okay.
And we do it by... Sometimes it exceeds the first two area of the station because of the way the zip codes are, but everybody gets sent back, and you... The repetitiveness of being asking for help, and that's all we ask for. We want to come join Noakesville Volunteer Fire Department as a volunteer. And we have different classes of membership. You can be a business member. You can be a running member. You can be a non-active member through there, ride an ambulance. If that's all you want to do is ride an ambulance, you can do everything.
Okay. So the mailers that go out, can you tell me what's on there? I know you've had you've tried different types of mailers. What's the most effective? What kind of text do you put on there? Do you put pictures of burning homes, fire trucks responding? Or?
The most effective is the plainest that we have, and we did it. You know, you would use a different color postcard, but it'd have a picture of an ambulance and a fire truck on it that was in black ink.
Okay.
And on your messages, big and bold on it. We have tried the glossy 5x7 postcards that go out, and they don't seem to work as well as the little plain black ones with black and white ink.
Okay. So it's a call for help?
Call for help to come help volunteer and help your community.
Okay. The recruitment night, what do you have available for the folks who do receive the card and say, okay, you know, let me see what I can do for my community and come down and help out?
We have different demonstrations going on. The last one we had our helicopter come in and land, but they also get to put on gear. They get to crawl through a little maze that we have built in the bay. We have hot dogs and cotton candy and popcorn and just try to get them to hooked in into our family from the first day that they're there.
Okay, great. All right. So take me back to 2002 when it was time to build a new station in this community that was just growing at a rapid pace, which here at the symposium, that seems to be one of the main topics, is that we were a small town and now we're a major town with strip malls, businesses, tech centers, apartment buildings, stuff that you've never had before. It's time to build a new station. How many members did you have when you only had the one station?
We had about 40 active members.
Okay.
And in the two-year time period from the time that we started recruiting till we opened up the station, we had 150 active members at that time,
wow,
plus about 20 business members. And we've increased it now to where we're over 200 members. And we're still recruiting. We're going to recruit because there's going to be a third station that's needed to be built in a few more years that we want to be able to staff.
Okay. The cost, is it cost prohibitive to do the mailings? Have you found any problems with that?
It is very costly, and it's the mailing and the printing of the postcards. We spend an average of about $70,000 a year just to get the people in the door.
Okay.
That doesn't count the initial Red Hat training or gear or anything else. It's just the $70,000 of recruiting that person to get them in the door.
Okay. And I'm sure that's comparable to a lot of other places when they attend the, you know, the school fairs and all that stuff. So, now when you have a new station, you have your second station that's open. Did you have anybody from the original station move to the second station so you had some sort of seniority, some sort of leadership from the other station, or was it too far?
No, we moved. It was 4 miles difference, so we have a 2-mile response area from each station, and we require all of our members to transfer from station to station.
Okay.
Every 4 months, they move from station 5 to station 25 or from 25 back to 5.
Okay, so there was a consistency in the level of experience that you had at each station. Okay. Okay, is there anything else that we should touch on while we're here?
Recruitment only works if you make it a priority and you continue to do it. And it's a repetitiveness of sending out the postcards. It's a repetitiveness of knowing the community knows that we're going to have an open house every quarter and they're looking forward to that.
Okay. Well, like you said before, if you don't do anything about the recruitment issue, you're never going to get anybody. So, and this is a pretty unique program from what I've never heard of this before, and talking with some other folks, it's well, I guess that's why you're the direct mail king or direct mail chief, if you want to talk about the fire service aspect of it. So, all right. Well, thank you for joining us again, Chief Brian Hickerson from the Noakesville, Virginia Volunteer Fire Department.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these, or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio.